that in all things that we ought to keep the main thing, the main thing. We come, Lord, because we know that though there is a threat out there, that threat is bounded and barricaded by your word, by your grace, and by your peace. So forgive us, Lord, for not treating you with the utmost reverence and respect that we should have, but thank you for allowing our golden moments to roll on a little while longer so that we can say truly today that morning by morning new mercies we see. Thank you for all of those that have connected to this network. Thank you for all of those that have the holy hookup and the consecrated connection. Bless our time now as we go into your word. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, we pray and say amen, amen, and amen. Beloved, we invite you today to come with us to the Old Testament, to the Hebrew Scriptures, to Testament 1. We ask that you come to 2 Kings, and we want to have a divine dialogue with you today. And so we want to give you a moment to get adjusted to the anointing. Perhaps you want to grab some tea or some water, some juice. Perhaps you want to sit in your favorite chair or get into your favorite spot in the home. But certainly, certainly, we treasure your presence on this network. In particular, we invite you to come with us to the book of 2 Kings. The book of 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings. Beginning with the 8th through and including the 23rd verse. 2 Kings 6, 8 through 23. And it reads like this. When the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he would confer with his officers and say, "We will mobilize our forces at such and such a place." But immediately Elisha, the man of God, would warn the king of Israel, "Do not go near that place, for the Arameans are planning to mobilize their troops there." So the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Verse 10 again, so the king of Israel would send word to the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on the alert there. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he would be on alert there. The king of Aram became very upset over this. He called his officers together and demanded, "Which of you is the traitor?" Translation, which of you is the spy? Which of you is working the underground network? Who among you has been informing the king of Israel of my plans? "It's not us, my lord, the king," one of the officers replied. "Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom." "Go and find out where he is," the king commanded, "so I can send troops to seize him." And the report came back, "Elisha is at Dothan." Verse 14. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots. To surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. There were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" the young man cried to Elisha. "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid," Elisha told him. "For there are more on our side than on theirs." I need you to say with me, "Don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs." One more time, "Don't be afraid, for there are more on our side than on theirs." Verse 17. Then Elisha prayed. "Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. With horses and chariots of fire. With horses and chariots of fire. Thanks be to God. As the Aramean army advanced toward him, Elisha prayed, "Oh Lord, please make them blind." So the Lord struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Then Elisha went out and told them, "You have come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me and I will take you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to the city of Samaria. Stay with me, church. As soon as they had entered Samaria, Elisha prayed again, "Oh Lord, now open their eyes and let them see." So the Lord opened their eyes and they discovered that they were in the middle of Samaria. Wow. When the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elisha, "My father, should I kill them? Should I kill them?" Verse 22. "Of course not," Elisha replied. "Do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home again to their master." Father, add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and dramatization of your holy word. Y'all may be seated. Beloved, just for a few moments on this last Sunday in March, as we approach, as we grow deeper into the holy season, I need you, dear brother, dear sister, dear old head, dear young blood, dear social media guru, dear tech giant, to please come with me and pray with me from the thought, a cure for our curse. A cure for our curse. Beloved, I want to spell the word cure, C-U-R-E. And when you find yourself under siege, like the children of Israel, when an enemy has dedicated himself and organized and mobilized to come against you, I want to tell you that as children of God, the Bible gives us some principles about how to deal with our curse. I want to suggest to you that the first thing you need to do is please consider your prayer life. Consider your prayer life. It's very interesting that an entire nation and their military might had mobilized against the children of Israel. It's very interesting in this text that in order to fight this enemy, God never lifted a sword, a knife, a shield. He never asked his people to don military apparel. It is very interesting that we must understand that everything on earth is really a reflection of the heavens. That everything we experience in the physical or material realm simply is a portal or an opening, a window to what's going on in the spiritual. My pastor, Johnny Ray Youngblood, used to remind us that human beings are not spiritual creatures, that we are not earthly creatures having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual creatures having an earthly experience. That this world is not our home, that we are just passing through, that we are really strangers on earth and our true citizenship is in another land. And that is why when we are here, we must remain divinely connected and we must ask ourselves to consider our prayer lives. I want to remind you in this text that when it was all said and done, that the person that is responsible for the overcoming, for the victory of Israel is God. Consider your prayer life, because at a moment like this, we must ask, what has interrupted our time with God? That is your downtime disease time, or is your downtime divine time? That we are at home, but have we seized this opportunity to get reconnected with God? We are at home, but have we seized this opportunity to remain free of distraction and aggravation and frustration? That have we done what the scripture says, that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty? And I like the text because the Bible says that the king was blessed because he was open to the prophet. The way the word seems to work, the way God seems to work in this text, is providence gives it to the prophet and the prophet gives it to the politician. That from the heavenly courts, we get to the prayer courts, and from the prayer courts, we go to the courts of public policy. That God has a divine thing that a lot of times we think it goes the other way, but God in this text is showing us that he is in control, and beside God, there is no other. That whatever the plans of your enemy are, God has an answer to your plans, and if you just connect to the holy, if you just connect to the heavenly, if you just connect to the man or woman of God, God can rouse the plans of your enemy. Consider your prayer life. The next thing you need to do is, as you're working in this time and you're looking for a cure for the disease, understand relationships. Notice in this text that Elisha refused to work alone, that Elisha used a younger servant, that he incorporated him into the ministry. That is why it's so good during this time to spend time with family members and to connect around intergenerational lines. I'm so glad that at Tabernacle Baptist Church, we have developed a reach ministry over the last 12 days that allows people to make sure that they call and they reach out to somebody every day. The young people are calling the season saints. The season saints are calling the young people, and our prayer lines, they're buzzing with energy, all kinds of testimonies, all kinds of poetry, all kinds of songs. What people did not do in the church, they're doing it on the phone lines. I don't know why they didn't do it, but I thanks be to God that the phone lines are erupting with the joy of Jesus. Give God some mighty praise. Beloved, you are not going to leave a legacy unless you bring somebody with you. Don't you understand that this text is letting us understand that God uses you to bless somebody else? That you should not have all your friends in one place. That you should not have all your connections in one neighborhood. That you should not have all your reading through one genre. You should not have all your musical tastes limited to one area. That you are a king's child and the world is yours. And God said to Paul to tell us in 1 Corinthians that all things are yours. But God has given us the whole world. We need to learn how to e-connect. And even in this situation, the world has grown closer together because now we've shut out some of those things that blocked our time with God. This week I experienced the power of intergenerational ministry. I was coming into a church that was open because people were praying, but I didn't see a lot of bodies throughout this week in the church, and I thank God for that because people are practicing social distancing. But sometimes when you see something, it can mess with your soul. Sometimes when you don't hear the laughter of your friends, when you don't hear the prayers of the deacons, when you don't hear the choir singing, when you don't hear the saints, what we call jewels in the pews, when you don't hear the babies crying, it can do something to a preacher's soul. And I was in my office just going through some paperwork, and one of our saints in the church, we'll call her AM. She called my phone. And I answered the phone while I was engaging in some self-incrimination. And she did what Elisha did to this young person. She encouraged me. She told this bald-headed preacher with a name y'all can't pronounce. She said, "Pastor, you are the man for the job doing this threat. Because you got a lot of energy." I didn't feel like I had energy. But I do know that when she said that to me, something opened in my soul. A portal opened. Joy came upon me. A new renewal came. That older people with your mouths, you can encourage the young, and younger people with your mouths, you can encourage the old. I know you've been bound. I know you're at home. I know sometimes those children may get on your last nerve, but encourage them anyway. Build them up anyway. Help them with their homework anyway. Consecrate your home anyway. Use this time to praise the Lord and encourage somebody. If you're not careful, we can set up new idols with our social distancing. I heard reports that not everybody is practicing social distancing. I've seen pictures on the internet of people crowding at a crab shack. I've seen, last week it was the toilet roll line. This week, it's the liquor store line. The numbers of people on pornography are growing. The number of people shooting at home are growing. The number of people, amen, arguing with their family members are growing. Lord, consecrate our homes, consecrate our lips, consecrate our hands. Show us that this is the time that we ought to build our relationship with you. I know you can't go to work like you used to, some of you. I know some of you can't go out like you used to, but I got some things you can do. There's stuff you can do. You can spend more time in prayer. You can read a good book. You can write the great American novel. You can work on your prayer life. You can work on your complaining attitude. You can work on your mouth issues. You can work on your money issues. You can exercise. You can write your memoirs. Amen. You can learn to marshal your resources. You can learn about websites. You can learn Facebook. You can work on discipleship worship. You can learn some Bible study tools. You can honor your marriage, honor yourself, honor your pastor, honor your church. Pick up the phone and send something out positive via the internet. Give God some mighty praise for those that wait on the Lord. He shall renew their strength. Use this time to beat the devil down, and don't let the devil beat you down. You need to understand relationships. But it gets deeper, y'all. It gets deeper, because even though Elisha was working with this young man, Elisha had to move into prayer. What I like about the text was that the young man's faith needed growing, Elisha did not criticize him. Beloved, the time of COVID-19 is not the time criticizing everybody. It's not the time to watch too much TV. If you watch more TV than watch your Bible, you will be at home growing in depression. If you watch more news of man than watch the news of God, it'll kill your joy. Get on the prayer lines. Form a prayer network. Consecrate yourself. Develop an intercessory ministry. It was after Elisha spoke to the young man. Now he showed the young man how to pray. He showed the young man how to pray. And he does something that everybody needs to do during this season. The young man saw him praying. And maybe our children act up because they never see us praying. They see us talking on the phone. They see us gossiping. But do they see us praying? They see us complaining. But do they see us committed? You need to expose the younger people and the non-Christians and the unbelievers to the power of God. Look what he said. He said, God, I pray that you open his eyes. That prayer is not just for the young man. That prayer is for me, that in a moment of national threat, it's a time for me to go into my closet, take what Antonio Gramsci calls a critical self-inventory, and look at what I've not turned over to God. In other words, if he was with the man of God, and the text is saying, open his eyes that he may see, it means that it's possible for you to be in church and be connected to the man of God, but you still can't see. In other words, Lord, what in me remains untapped, unfulfilled, unrealized, undeveloped? What in me that, Lord, when you lay me down like this, it's so that I can get up with more power. Don't let me get up with less power than I have when you put me down. He said, open his eyes that he may see. Well, the Bible says when the young man opened his eyes, please put on your Bible glasses. He saw something. The Bible says that he saw the hills, glory be to God, surrounded by horses and chariots of fire. Please, I wish I was there, y'all. The army left attacking the army, rerouted its military might, and the entire army of the king of Aram came to attack one man. Maybe there's a threat out here, not because somebody is sinning. Maybe there's a threat out here because somebody is praying. Maybe it's the devil that's mad at somebody who's praying. Maybe the devil is trying to thwart the armies of God. Maybe somebody is doing the right thing and the devil sends this threat because he knows what God is up to. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord. Look at the text, y'all. The text says that the armies were surrounding the house. But through one eye, you don't see the armies that are protecting you. But there's a difference between the armies against you and the armies for you. Look at the text. It says that surrounding them from the enemy were horses and chariots. But it says surrounding Elisha was horses and chariots of fire. Oh, Jesus. There is a difference between a man and a man on fire. There is a difference between a woman and a woman on fire. There is a difference between a church and a church on fire. There is a difference between a ministry and a ministry on fire. There is a difference between a choir and a choir on fire. There is a difference between a lamp and a lamp on fire. Is there anybody else out there on fire? Greater is he that is in me. Check who's protecting you. If they're not on fire, I don't want them. If they've not been through no battles before, I don't need them during this time. If they don't know how to pray, how to intercede, how to die to self, I don't need them around me. I only need people who understand the power of fire, wonder-working fire. In the name of the Lord, give God some mighty praise. Look to your neighbor. Look to your friend. Don't give them high five, but just shout out to them and say, get on fire. Tired of folk out here not on fire. There's a Yoruba proverb that says, it's only in times of war do you see the soldier that has seen blood before. These times may be new to you, but they're not new to God. Dr. King used to say that the stars come out at night. That these are times in which the gold must shine forth, where diamonds are made in the rough. These are times when the true men and the true women of God must fly the flag of holiness and give God some mighty praise. Be on fire. Well, that wasn't it, y'all. I got to move here. Not only must you consider your prayer life, not only must you understand your relationship, not only, amen, must you recognize the context of the situation, but finally, you must embrace the grace. The E of it is, you must embrace the grace. Notice in this text that Elisha never leaves his home. Some of you have been complaining because you couldn't leave. But Elisha is doing more work, more geopolitical work, more sociological work, more geographical work, more militaristic work, y'all ain't gonna pray, more ecclesiastical work, more prophetic work, more pastoral work. He's doing more work, help me, Holy Ghost, in his prayer closet.
You see, it's easy to do work in your prayer closet, amen, when you've cleaned out all the mess in the closet. It's easy to turn your house into a sanctuary when you didn't wait until the enemy came to start praying. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Lord, in the name of Jesus, show us the way. God, he never stopped praying. Not only did he ask the Lord to open up the eyes of his servant, and I'm done with this, he asked the Lord to blind the eyes of the enemy. That's a contradictory prayer. You open one eye and you close another. If you want to pray for Pastor this week, pray that he have the prayer life of Elisha. The Bible says Elisha prayed and he blinded, oh, help me, Holy Ghost. He blinded the enemy. Let me tell you how God is working in this text. He's going to bring global peace. He's going to bring international peace by not lifting a sword. God is going to bring some peace out of this COVID-19 situation that people don't even know about. There are people who are doing international networking, sharing resources. There are people who are picking up face masks and gloves. There are people who are calling China and Belgium and Brazil and Nigeria and South Africa. There are people across the states, the red and blue, that are networking. It does not matter if the king don't know everything. There is a king above the king that you need to worship. There's a king above the king that knows what he's doing. Don't worry about what Hard House is doing. Consecrate your house. Sam Proctor, great prophet, said, you have to be spiritually amphibious. You have to be able to operate in water and operate in land. In other words, you got to be able to operate on the earth and operate in heaven. You got a two-kingdom citizenship. So when he blinded the eyes, Elisha walked into the maws of death and spoke to the commander and said, who you're looking for is not here. When you got that kind of power, you can take your enemy by the hand. Oh, he prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He will make your enemies your footstools. I'm trying to get somebody to get a blessing. And he walked them to Samaria to his own king. And when he walked them, he prayed a third prayer. Please write this down. He prayed a third prayer. Now he said, Lord, now open their eyes. And when they opened their eyes, the people that were surrounding the people of God were now being surrounded by the people of God. I've come by to prophesy right now that your enemy that you see today, you will see no more. That the thing that is hunting you down, you're going to hunt it down. I don't care if it's a cancer. I don't care if it's a stroke. I don't care if it's the flu. I don't care if it's a COVID. We are going to surround our enemies. I don't care what it is. You will chase what's chasing you by the power of God. So when they open their eyes, and when now the tables are turned, the king said, should we kill them? Here's where you have to embrace the grace. This text is prefiguring in the Old Testament what Jesus is doing in the New. That Jesus had us, we should have died on Calvary. But Jesus did what Elisha did, and he took the enemy by the hand. And where Jesus could have sown hate, he sowed love. Where he could have sown destruction, he sowed deliverance. That when you have the power of God, you don't have to kill anybody with your tongue, your hand, or any other instrument. That you can lead them, because at the end of the story, God is going to get the glory. Embrace the grace. I'm so glad that when I was an enemy of God, God did not make an enemy of me. That while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. That it's easy for me to preach this text and act like I'm Elisha. But I also may see myself as an enemy of God, so I can come to God with my head tucked into the crevices of my shoulder, begging for mercy, because mercy fits my case. I'm here to tell you that God is going to lead us out of this situation. But we got to hold on to God's
unchanging hand. I've come by to let you know that this preacher that you see, somebody look beyond my faults and address my needs. Is there anybody here that knows that great is thy faithfulness? Great is thy faithfulness. Is there anybody here that can lift up holy hands and say thank you for mercy, thank you for grace, thank you for peace? When it's all said and done, God is going to use this to bring us closer. I don't know who God is punishing. I'm not saying God is punishing anybody. I don't think that we should use this time and speak for God. We don't have enough sense to know what all God is doing. But you better find out what he's doing in your life, and you better reap the harvest of righteousness for this season. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, what curse can be against us? If God be for us, what hoax, what wickedness, what system? If God be for us, what virus? If God be for us, what racism, what sexism? If God be for us, what bitterness, what lies, what lasciviousness? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who spared not his son to die, that you and I may have a right to the tree of life? If God be for us. Saints of God, use this time to find a cure for the curse. And before it's all said and done, and when it's all said and done, remember that God will not leave himself without a witness. He said, I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come. I will not leave you comfortless. And the people of God and the children of God and the sanctified of God said amen. 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 And amen. Just let's pray. Let's give God some praise where you are. As our choir comes, let's give God some praise where you are. God, some praise where you are. If you're at home, do what they do in sports. Take the home field advantage. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we are your children. We're the sheep of your pasture. We know we don't know where to go. If you don't lead us out of here, we won't get out. But we bow to you. We lean to you. We rely on you. Our sword, our buckler, teach us the power of home ministry. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.